God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin.
Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us.
I don't know about you, but I love Christmas.
Amen.
You start singing the Christmas songs, and it kind of brings your mind back to some of those times. And as you said, John, Christmas is special when you get saved, and the first Christmas you have. I got saved around Christmas, and so this time of the year is very meaningful to me. It's a time that I think that if I got saved, somebody else can get saved too. So thank God. Welcome to church this morning. So good to have you here. And you may be blessed. Have a seat. Thank you, worship team, bringing in some of those Christmas songs that we love so very much. And always meaningful. I love your shirt, Miles. Hallelujah. Don't you love his shirt? And if you love his shirt, you doing good so far? This is a great Sunday. Last two Sundays we had snow. This one's doing well. Amen. I like it. I like it when it, you know, snow goes away. So that stuff that stays around, that's what really bothers me. But good to have you here today in church. And Jeff, happy birthday. I looked up here on, and I knew his birthday was coming up, and it's always kind of like, you know, when's the date, you know, when you think of people when they have their birthdays, and then I looked up on the screen because it was going around, and there it said December 3rd, you know, so happy birthday, and your wife was really bidding you a good happy birthday during that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, Go Tell It on the Mountain, Over the Hill, and she kept saying, Over the Hill. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to come to church and celebrate and have a laugh and rejoice and know the wonderful love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes it more meaningful for us. You know, when I was in the world, I had fun, but when I became saved, I had fun. I had the joy of the Lord as my strength and rejoiced in all those things that God gives us. So anyway, as I get to Christmas, I thank God for the Christmas season. How about you? You see, because I'm dreaming. That's right. Hallelujah. You remembered. They often say that, you know, from Sunday to Sunday, a lot of people don't remember what you preach on. But I'm glad that you got that one right. Amen. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. You know, it's kind of unusual when you come to this Sunday of communion. And it's for sure one of the hardest things to do to think about a funeral service and the birth of a child. And that's basically what we're doing today, is we're coming to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we're also coming here today to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to come to this service today in light of the month of December, in which we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but here we come to a table of remembrance, a table of remembrance. The table of the Lord, which is about his death, his shed blood, his broken body, his dying, his last gasp for breath, the ransom that he paid for you and I at the cross. But it really, every Sunday we come together and it's about the cross. So really, this is nothing unusual. It's just that we're in the season of Christmas when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I come to this, it's the cross, his blood, his death, and his resurrection. They only spell out victory for you and I as believers. They only spell out victory for us. And I trust that you came to church this morning looking for a victory, because this is all what it is we're coming to a table of victory. That's what Jesus did for us. And so we're very grateful about the victory that we have in him. I really appreciate Pierre in his Wednesday night Bible study. And we had our last Bible study last Wednesday night. It's kind of like when I go home after a Sunday, like Betty and I talk, and she'll say, that was a real zinger of a message today. Or she'll go home and say, you know, kind of like that stunk or whatever. You know, it's kind of like we as a couple, we rate everything. You know, I'm sure that you do that too, don't you? Anyway, but I thought Wednesday was a real great, finish for our Bible studies. And I really appreciate that. Pierre, you're doing a fantastic job. Amen. For those who come out for our Wednesday Bible studies, they really appreciate your digging into the Word and resounding for us. And I like your illustrations too. they really get something across to us. Like that word you said on Wednesday night that you're not going to use anymore. Remember that? Because you found out the real meaning for it. And I kind of sat there thinking, well, Betty, I've used that word before too, you know. And so to take the short form of it, the first three letters, I said we can't use those first three letters anymore because that's a part of it. So we're done in the summertime with all the insects, you know, and when you think of it. But as I started thinking about the words that we use, and I go on the online dictionary very often, to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I don't know if you ever do that. If somebody says a word that you just don't know the meaning for, or there's something big, or you went to a lawyer and they have all these big words on the piece of paper that you have the documentation for, and you figure out what do those words mean? Only a lawyer could ever put them down there or understand them. And so you go to a dictionary and try to find out what their meaning is. And it's really interesting how they do that. But anyway, I go there so often to the online dictionary. And about a week and a half ago, it popped up and said, would you like to receive the word of the day to get a new meaning, a new word and all that? And I thought, well, yeah, I should broaden my horizons and get a little bit more in my vocabulary. And on the first day, they had an interesting word. The word was bludge. B-L-U-D-G-E. Anybody know what bludge means? Because I sat there dumbfounded because I didn't know what bludge meant. So I had to go down because it says here's the meaning, the word meaning of that word. So I went there. And the next day I learned another word, galvanize. Anybody know what that word means? So anyway, I looked at these two words because really, in a sense, these two words on two different days were at opposite ends. I like the meaning of words, and even the one that Pierre shared with us on the Wednesday night Bible study. But if you were to go to those words, bludge means to avoid work or responsibility. So don't anybody here be any bludgers, okay? Don't you be any bludgers, especially when it comes time for the Christmas drama, okay? Also, galvanize means to become excited or active. So come on Sunday mornings, let's get galvanized. Amen. So I was looking at that and I thought, yeah. So if I say next week, let's get galvanized, you'll know exactly what I mean, right? I like words. Words are interesting. When we say a word, especially ones that we know the meaning for, they bring the thoughts and the things that all are detailed in that word, like if you were to take the word Christmas and think of all the things that center around our lives in the word Christmas. And really, when you think of the understanding or the interpretation of the word, really we're plugging into that meaning of the word our experiences that we put into that word. And so when you say the word Christmas, you know, the first thing that comes to your mind is experiences that come to that. Now, I could have brought to you the exact meaning of Christmas and some of the interpretations of Christmas and some of the background and the meaning of Christmas is probably not that great. Somewhere along the line, they even bring in the word pagan holiday and so forth with Christmas. But I like to think, you know, like that word on Wednesday night that Pierre brought out, you know, I thought, well, that's not the interpretation I got, so I'm just going to forget about the dictionary and keep using it. I mean, we could be in that kind of a place where we'll say, well, I'm going to ignore the real meaning. I'm just going to go with what it is. And we can come to the word Christmas. And so many people over the years, I've heard them as a pastor over the year, well, pastor, you shouldn't have a Christmas tree in your house because it's from a pagan holiday, and you shouldn't do this, and who knows if December 25th is really the day that Jesus was born. And so, I mean, and they go into all the background of all this pagan stuff, and so they turn off their Christmas tree, they put it away, and they don't do anything anymore on Christmas. And I thought, man, if we do that, I think we're missing some opportunities here. You know, I think that we're missing something here. I don't have any background or understanding of whether December 25th is the exact moment of time when Jesus born into this world. I have no idea. Commentators are divided on when the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world. They have all different ideas when, what time of year and everything else. All I know is that I was born into this world, and this world seems to be celebrating December 25th as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to shout to the world, and I'm going to put up the lights, and I'm going to get a Christmas tree out there. And if anybody says, how come you got a Christmas tree in your house? Because I believe in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How come you take December 25th and have this grand time of, you know, sitting down, rejoicing with family, maybe open some gifts, sing some songs and doing that? It's because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I come to the word Christmas, you can look at all the negativity, but my interpretation of Christmas is something very positive that the world needs to hear. Amen? Especially in light of all the news that's going on in our world right now. We need Christmas. Christmas, yes. We associate its meaning to us and what we've experienced in and by it. It's Christmas for us. And many use the word Christmas at this time of the year, but they don't have the proper understanding or the proper meaning of Christmas and its association to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have that. For many, they look at Christmas as, hey, time off work, all right, party time. Like they're ready to go. It's time off work. They're drunken parties and all that goes along with the season of Christmas. And that's all they associate with it. For you and I as a child of God, it's a lot different. Believers in Christ, Christmas is special. It's all about a child being born into this world. He is the Savior. He is our Savior. And hopefully we have come to know Him in a relationship with Him as our Savior and walk with Him and talk with Him along life's narrow way. Amen? Because when we do find Him and accept Him as our Savior, Christmas takes on a whole new meaning when you find the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I was reading in one of my devotionals this week, and I don't know about you, but sometimes just things in a devotional really seem to click, and they hit you. And I mean, these words are something that really is very profound, very simple, but really hit me this week. It said, the most important thing in life is our relationship with God. Establishing and maintaining relationship with God is to be the focus of our daily efforts as well. And I thought that was very powerful and meaningful to me. I don't know how that hits you, but it's really a neat thing. But another thing, when I come to Christmas, I cannot only see the baby, but I see the end also. I see the Savior of the world. I see the cross. I see His death. I see it all. Because the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ opens up the door to be able to see it all. Like Simeon, and we talked about that the last 2 weeks, Simeon and his prophecy over the baby Jesus, he saw through the prophetic word, the revelation that he got, he saw, I see the rise and the fall, the destiny of this child. He saw it all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't just holding a baby and listening to the goos and the noises that babies make and just being profoundly affected because he had Jesus in his arms. He looked at Jesus and he saw the destiny. He saw everything that this child was here for. He saw it all. And when he came to the whole gospel, the full gospel, even though, you know, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are celebrating everything about Jesus. Everything. You can't stop short of any part of what Jesus did in one part. You've got to celebrate everything about Jesus. It's the total package of what he came to give us. The total package. I don't think we could ever ignore the totality of what Christ means to us when we think of Christmas. I mean, you've got to take the whole gospel. Got to take the whole thing. And Christmas is interesting because it's a lot about gifts, isn't it? I mean, when it all boils down to it, gifts. The first thing that people think is, oh, what do I buy my spouse? What do I get for them? What do I buy for my children? And it's almost like it's the gift in there is before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's kind of sad in a way, but it's nice to receive gifts at Christmas, isn't it, Betty? We like getting gifts. Hallelujah. But if we want to think about this gifts this Christmas, think on the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the birth of the Christ is the beginning of the cross. So let me just show you this scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, because it's the gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God, not of works, lest anybody say, hey, look what I did, lest they should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's the gift of God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for that gift that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and that salvation. And notice that God had this all planned even before we were born. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In fact, God secured the gospel even before the gospel came. Right? God secured the gospel even before the gospel came. And talking about the gift of God, John 3:16 makes sure that we understand the gift, because God so loved the world that he gave. He's giving the gift. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's love was the foundation of why Jesus came into the world. God's love is the foundation of why Jesus came. And the word gave sounds like it's an event already taken place in the past. But if you were to look at the tense of that word gave, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave. In the Greek, that word is tenseless. There's no tense to it. In other words, when he has his love for you and I, he gave in the past. He gave in the present, and he gave in the future. In other words, God never stops giving to this world. He never stops giving. And I started thinking of that word, you know, that's tenseless. And I went to the scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, because this kind of talks about maybe a hint of Christmas here. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And basically, that's the same thing, because it sounds like you are going to give a gift to your child. But if you are a parent, you have already done that, right? I mean, this Christmas, if you've got a child who's 16 years old, this is not the first time you're going to give that child a gift. In other words, it's an ongoing thing, because you gave that child gifts in the past, and you're giving that child gifts now. And as they grow and grow and become an adult, you'll be giving them gifts. It doesn't matter. Maybe we just went through our grandchildren, our kids, and what do you guys want for Christmas? Yo, what would you like? But we want to get together with them, but it's always that gift. And so it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. God's love is ongoing. Praise God. God's word is amazing, isn't it? I mean, every time you come to the words and the word that God uses, it's so amazing. So when you come to John 3:16, we must understand that God gave in the past, he gave today, and he's going to be giving tomorrow. He's a wonderful God. God is good. I'm dreaming.
I'm dreaming of a
just. Oh, man, you guys are good. We should go on the road. Hallelujah. God's word is amazing. Hallelujah. But when the fullness of the time had come, now understanding this is going past the tenses, but there is a specificity of time. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. That verse is a complete description of time. On God's clock, and not our clock, God said, it's time. This is the revelation. When the fullness of time had come, God said, this is the time. And then the Son of God came to this world, made in the likeness of mankind, born of a woman. And don't forget, on God's clock, we are told that one day, Jesus is coming back. The clock is ticking. And as I look in this world right now, and all the news that is happening, and even listening yesterday that they were talked to the Secretary of Defense or whatever it was, and they said with this guy in North Korea, what do you expect? And he says, we live day by day, not knowing what is going to happen. Day by day. And I thought to myself, isn't that just like a Christian, that we live day by day? Because who knows what may happen this afternoon. I may never get to one of my conclusions this morning, and we may have a rapture of the church. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So God's clock is going tick, 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 tick. It's not our clock, as a matter of fact. So many times we try to get involved in God's clock, don't we? I mean, so many books and so many people try to set the dates of the Lord's return, and even the disciples back in those days when Jesus was here. I mean, if you were to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you now at this time restore the kingdom? They wanted it now, but it's not on the clock of God. God's got his clock, and it's in his hands. If you were to go over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So why do people keep writing these books and keep setting the dates of the Lord's return? I cannot understand that this is what the Word of God says, that nobody knows, only the Father. So every time you see a book like that, they're in error. They're a false prophet. They don't know what they're saying. They aren't in line with the Word of God. Amen? Now, I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That's when he's coming, when it's least expected. But we are feeling the times of the days that we're living in. So these are times of the future that has not yet happened. So when Paul stated in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. There's going to be a fullness of time one day when Jesus will return. The fullness of time, and in looking back with the scripture verse in hand, we see that that is true, looking back at it. That Jesus was born under the law. Born under the law of that time, for he was born under the one who gave the law. Moses was the lawgiver. Jesus was born under the lawgiver, Moses. But something else, he was born under the prophetic. Isaiah prophesied. He said, a virgin shall conceive. So Jesus is born of a woman. He was under the law. He was under prophecy. He was under expectation. He came just like the Word of God tells us he came. He came. Born of a woman, not of a man, because the Spirit of God causes the birth of Jesus and Mary. Amen? The Bible is powerful because all the scriptures denote to us the power of the gospel, and that here we are, readying ourselves to come to a table of remembrance this morning, getting ourselves ready to come to this table, but really what we are doing is here is celebrating the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the second coming of the Lord. Isn't that why we do this? We're awaiting the second coming of the Lord. That's why Paul said in that very portion of scripture that we use every time we come to the communion table, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So that's what we're doing. We're doing this in remembrance of him, but we'll keep doing this until he comes. Amen? We're holding on. We're clinging to the old rugged cross. We're believing in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're standing firm in the faith. We're walking in through the time that we are in right now until that day that Jesus says, that's it. And we're taken home. So we're walking. So communion is not a one-time thing, but we do it continually because we are waiting his arrival. Waiting his arrival, which may happen as often as we do it, as often as we celebrate this eating of the bread, drinking of the cup, we wait, we wait, we wait. Having Christmas is fun. It's a great time. Christmas is a time of rejoicing. I love getting those Christmas carols out. We were at the Parisian Manor Seniors Home just a little while ago, and I figured this is the only time that Betty and I will be there before the next year, 2018, should the Lord tarry. And so I asked them, do you have Christmas song books? And they did, and so we brought them out, and we just sang songs in there of Christmas. And it's amazing because, you know, when it comes to Christmas carols, like all the songs we sing, we need the words up here. But it's like, you know, when we get to the Christmas carols, they are so inbred in us. They silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. I mean, it just rolls out of us, and we just sing the Christmas carols, and they're in us, and it's beautiful. And so we rejoice. It's a fun time. It's a great time. It's a time of rejoicing. It's like the angels in the sky rejoicing. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They were rejoicing because the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the shepherds running to see what the angels told them. Let's run and find out if this is true. They ran. They were rejoicing, and they wanted to see a newborn baby, a savior of the world, as was told them by the angels. And it says they went back to the sheepfold praising God and marveling for what had been seen and shown them and told them. They were praising God. But the cross, the gospel in all its fullness, which centers in the incarnation of the crucifixion of Jesus, the entire divine plan of God and the provision for the redemption of you and I as sinners coming to the cross, which is the theme of all the scripture in the view. It's at the cross. Hallelujah. So that's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that message of the cross is really the full expression of the wisdom of God. It's the full expression of his godly ways and his wisdom, the cross. But it's foolishness to mankind, says Paul. They don't believe that. It's just foolishness. How could a Savior die on a cross for you and I? Sounds foolish to me. That's why people don't come to church. That's why they won't receive Christ. They think it's foolishness. Why would I go and do that? Some criminal who died on a cross by the name of Jesus, that's what they feel. So the real power is not the birth of Jesus, but it's the simple message of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where the real power comes. The message that God is saving the world through a condemned criminal is foolish to unbelievers. But for believers whose eyes have been opened by God, and that we see, and we've been lifted from the miry clay, the message of the cross has the power of truth to us. It's got the message that will change us, redirect us, change our mind, our heart, our soul, our life, everything about us, make us a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For me, he made him, God made his son Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So when you see at Paul at Corinth, and he came into the church at Corinth and wrote this letter, he pleaded with the church that they were not to adopt any one person as a fall to follow. He said, "Why are some of you following Peter? Why are some of you following Apollos? Why are you even some of you following me? Aren't we supposed to be following the Lord Jesus Christ?" It was a divided camp in the church at Corinth. So Paul said about the message of the cross in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." We need to see Jesus, need to follow Jesus. That's what he's trying to get across. It's a message of the power of God. So it's not the cradle. It's not the manger, the place of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Christmas is all fantastic, and I love the Christmas carols, and I love the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's at the cross. It's at the cross where we first saw the light. It's at the cross where we first saw the light and where we understand salvation. It's not the cradle, but it's the cross. It's the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified." He didn't preach about the cradle. He didn't preach about the manger. He didn't preach about the animals in that around that trough where Jesus was born. He preached Christ crucified. He preached the cross. And basically, after the New Testament, as you go past all the Gospels, after you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that the basic part of our New Testament is comprised about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never again really basically mentioned about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the cross is preached on. The cross, the resurrected Christ. So in a sense, the birth scene, the celebration of this time of year is incomplete. It's not worth the weight of the whole gospel when you come to the manger scene. And I love Christmas just as much as the next person, but if that's all we ever celebrate is just the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are missing the real totality of why Jesus came. We would not be born again if all we had was Christmas. Sorry to blow any of your bubbles this morning, But if all we had was Christmas, we would not be born again today. We would not be born again. We need the cross. We need the cross. We need the life and the teaching of this Jesus who grew up from being a baby in that manger. We need to see the cross where Jesus hung between heaven and earth. We need to see the empty grave. And there is only there that we find the whole complete gospel package, of which is the total of the sole reason of why Jesus came. That's where he said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must be about the Father's business. I must get there to the place of Jerusalem. I must be taken and persecuted and killed. But in 3 days, I will rise. Jesus came to die for our sins. But he came as a human being. To become a human being, he needed flesh. And so we read in the Gospels, and Mary was overshadowed by Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit impregnated Mary with the Son of God. And they were told, you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save them from their sins. So today, we come to this table. It's not a cradle. It's not a manger scene. It's not the wise men from the east scenario. It's not the shepherds on a hillside. It's not the angels singing joyful in the sky. It's none of those things that we relate to Christmas is why we come to this table. But this table draws us to the cross. This table draws us to the cross. This table reminds us, or should remind us, of our salvation in Jesus, that free gift that we can't boast about, that was given to each and every one of us. If you're a believer today, you know what I'm talking about. Because this table is a place of remembrance of Jesus and what he did at the cross. So we remember him, what he did. This table is a place of remembrance. It's a place of reconciliation, reconciled to God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a remembering of the whole life of Jesus, the birth, the life, you know, everything about Jesus, his teaching, all that he taught, everything he did, but it centers in on his death and the resurrection and his coming again, like we saw in 1 Corinthians. That's why we read in the gospel the beautiful things of what he says. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. You know, I look at the letters that Paul wrote, and Peter, John, James, and I look at them, and they were trying to straighten out the things that were happening around and the false doctrines that were coming in. They're trying to get back on track those things that people needed to see and trying to bring them in line of what the full gospel really means to people. And so as I read it and I understand it, that people even in the days of Paul were coming to this table with the wrong meanings. And that's why he said, "And therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding properly or correctly what Jesus did. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, many sleep." That would be a sermon in itself right there, that line. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." There's a sermon right there. "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." Wait for one another. You ever wonder what happens when you wait? I like waiting. Because when Betty cooks a meal, it's well worth the wait. You know, it's Betty, you know, no problem. She says, "Well, breakfast, supper will be at this time." Hey, I wait. And then when she says, "It's ready," I run. But you know, in the waiting is the contemplation moment. In the waiting is the understanding of what's to come. If there's a meal to come, I'm wondering what it's going to be like. What will it taste? Well, if it's Betty made it, it's fantastic. That's all I know. But if God's word has something for us and he tells us to wait, just like for the day of Pentecost, it was well worth waiting for, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For if God tells us to come in as a church body And he wants to straighten out things. He wants to correct things. That I think it's well worth the wait. Because if there's something going on in our hearts and our lives, that's when the Spirit of God talks. In that waiting moment. In that quiet moment. As we examine ourselves, like the Word says, look inside. Is there something going on? And that's what it's talking about. Wait. Wait for one another. But if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home. In other words, this is not a meal. Hope you had your breakfast at home, because you know if this is your meal, it's pretty pathetic in the sense of having a meal here today. You won't get filled up on a little piece of bread or drinking from a little cup. I think that's what Paul is trying to say. Like, come on, let's get priorities in order here. If you're hungry, eat at home. This is something special. This is something special. We're coming here not thinking of our belly, not thinking of what I can get here to fill and meet my digestion tract and anything else. We're coming here to remember Jesus, what he did for us, his love for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, lest you come together forget. And I will rest and set in order when I come. The rest I will set in order when I come. In other words, hey, there's more problems in the church. Right? So as I was preparing for this today, this is our last communion of 2017. It's our last time when we come to the table remembrance of 2017. I always figure that, you know, when you start saying goodbye to one year and you go into a new year, isn't it like, God help me to be better? Aren't there all those New Year's resolutions trying to, you know, I'm not talking about dieting or lose weight or anything like that. I'm talking about, you know, God, help me to do better this year for you. As we look into 2018, like, God, help me to stand through whatever comes my way. Help me to depend upon you more in my life. Help me to read your word more in my life. Help me to pray more in my life. And we kind of get to those things because we know that 2017, I blew it. We look at all of our things that we didn't do right, and as we look at a new year, we want to do it better. So I always think that this is our last communion service for this year. And as I was reading through 1 Corinthians, and I was reading about Paul and some following Apollos and this, and is the body of Christ divided, and all these things, and I thought, you know, is it possible, just saying that there could be divisions today, some frayed or strayed relationships, those strained times and relationships in the body of Christ. Is that possible today? Is it possible? Is it possible that someone has a deep hurt in their heart that's keeping them from the deep life that God wants them to have because they keep holding on to that hurt that somebody hurt me? Is it possible also that today that healing could take place today at this table of remembrance? Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. You know, I was in the prayer room this morning and God gave me this scripture. It's from James chapter 5, verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Now, we think, you know, suffering, well, they must be sick or something like that. I mean, if you were to look in the Greek at that word suffering, you'll find out that there's a lot of ways that you and I suffer. A lot of ways. Gigantic. You could keep going on with, if you were to open up Webster's Dictionary, they'd be kind of confined. But when it comes to spiritual things, there's a lot of suffering that goes on in the ways of God. So is it possible that this morning that somebody could be so convicted deeply that they could stand it no longer? But something would happen in the body of Christ this morning that healing would take place. The suffering that goes on in the body of Christ. Wounded relationships, hurt and anger and marriages and children and so forth and all the things that happen in life. Is it possible this morning that on this last communion Sunday of 2017, before we get into the next year, is it possible that something could be kind of help us to walk better towards this next year, to get rid of those things? You know, a few weeks ago in the prayer meeting, Louise, we sang that song, God of the Breakthrough. God of the Breakthrough. And I get tired of of, you know, even though we look at Merriam-Webster's dictionary and we get these words and we try to understand them, and we look at the word breakthrough, and we can stand here and say, he's the God of the breakthrough, he's the God of the breakthrough and all that. I want breakthrough. I don't want to sing about it. I want to have it. I want breakthrough for brothers and sisters in Christ in the church today. I want breakthrough. And if it takes a little bit of manning up to what we should be doing in the church when we know the Word of God, if it says if somebody's offended me in the house of God, I should go to that brother according to the Word of God and make it right. If something has happened between two people, go to them. Man up, woman up, do it this morning, because this is why Jesus came, so that we would have right relationships with each other. God would take all of our suffering and all of our hurt and all of our anger and all of our desperation and all those things, because He is the God of the breakthrough. He wants to break through in our lives. And I often think that, you know, when we go to Hebrews chapter 12 and it says all those things that so easily beset us and snare us and keep us down. Whereas if only we would keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and the whole of the gospel message from the New Testament on is all about that, getting our eyes on Jesus, not the Christmas story Jesus, but the cross Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you and I, the one who gasped and said, it is finished, and he purchased our salvation. That's the one that we need to get our eyes upon. That's why Peter on the day of Pentecost looked at all the Jews around him and said, this Christ, the one whom you crucified. So this morning, I don't know, I guess I'm a little bit of a desperation here, but I'd like to see things break through. I'd like to see things break through. I'd like to see things break through. Father, thank you this morning. We come to this table. God, I'm praying that as we saw that word wait, I'm asking right now as we wait, Spirit of God, there's some things that you're revealing to people. Here we are, every one of us in this church. I'm not omitted from this at all. I'm preaching to myself as well. But God, this morning, if there's anything here that needs to be fixed because the power of the blood can do it, if anything needs to be fixed this morning and repaired, there's only one way it can be repaired, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. So God, I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying in this moment for a breakthrough, a breakthrough, a breakthrough. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. I'm praying for a breakthrough. I thought it'd be much easier if anything needs to be done this morning, if we're standing. Anything needs to be done, we can stand and we can walk around. We can do those things. If we need to apologize to somebody, let's walk around and do that. If we can just get things going and proper this morning before we come to this table, because I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for a breakthrough. God, I'm praying for a breakthrough right now. God, I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for a breakthrough, Lord. God, thank you for Cornwall Pentecostal Church. God, you want to do so much for this church. And I just see all kinds of things that you want to do, Lord, but sometimes it's all the little things that hold us back, the minute things that can just stop the hand of God moving in such a powerful way. God, I'm praying for a breakthrough. It doesn't matter how big or small this morning, if something needs to be done, if somebody needs to apologize, if somebody needs to go to a brother or sister, if somebody needs to say something, if somebody needs to give a hurt at the altar, if somebody needs to come to this altar and stand here or whatever for a few moments, I don't know what it could be, but God, I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for a breakthrough, Lord. Oh, God, make it happen, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit. Him whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Holy Spirit, set free, set free, set free, set free, set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, God. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord, we'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Pierre, would you come up here, please? And Diane, would you come up? I just want us to do communion this morning. Well, we'll have two board members here, and we'll come and we'll just receive of these emblems here from them. Could we do that this morning? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we pray over these emblems this morning. What a delight it is. Christmas season, but the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. So God, I praise you this morning, Lord, for what you've done. We celebrate Christmas, but oh God, it's so much more. So much more. So much more. It's the full gospel. And so God, as we come to this place of remembrance, Lord, as we partake of the emblems, Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to look inward, Lord, and make sure we've got our eyes on you. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your shed blood. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you come? Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Just take the emblems when you receive them. Go ahead. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord will give him all the glory. We'll give him all the praise you, Jesus. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. I'll wait for these. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His broken body and shed blood for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the bread together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's partake together. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord. And that's what we'll do. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Amen. Well, I may have finished the service a little differently from most times. Will you forgive me? I just thought we would do it this way this morning and let the Holy Spirit look after all the things that happened because I did it differently. Amen. Praise God. So, just another few weeks is Christmas. Another week starts a drama. Things are going to be happening. The Holy Spirit is already putting in place all the things that he wants to do in this Christmas season. We just need to fit into his plans. I want to come alongside Holy Spirit and be part of the plan of God. Amen. How about you? Praise God. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you. Rejoice. The God of our salvation, the free gift that you gave to us. Lord, we are so blessed So blessed today, Lord God. We have the knowledge of Jesus in our head. We've got the relationship in our heart. We walk to give you glory every day. We thank you, Lord God, that we're abounding in blessings, Lord. The promises of God are yea and amen. Where else could we turn, Lord God? We lean upon you. We trust in you. We walk with you every day of our life, Lord. What a great place to be. We walk in the light because you are the light. And so thank you today for this day. Bless us as we go. Be with us. And may we just have a day of rejoicing. And as we unfold the plans of God, Lord, we can hardly wait. We're excited to see somebody get saved over the next few weeks. Somebody's life changed. Some homes changed. Some families changed. Marriages changed. Things that will happen because of you. And so we praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas.